Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. It's me, Eric Williams, and today I'm a birthday boy. We've got an extra special episode to celebrate. Not only is Henry Russell Bergstein on, the bi-coastal famous casting directress, we also have a special appearance up top from my very own straight twin brother, also celebrating his birthday. It's such a gift that he agreed to come on the podcast, but the even bigger gift is I ask him if he knows what the word verse means. His answer is devastating. I can't wait for you to hear it. If you don't know Henry Russell Bergstein, he's not only so fucking funny, he's a really good friend of mine. He's also cast so many TV shows, movies, Broadway shows. I mean, things that you love. He cast the other two on Comedy Central, Black Mirror, Succession. Just an icon through and through. To celebrate the birthday of it all, there is a special discount going at gayasspodcast.com. If you want your character actress sweatshirt, your cat, your Whoopi Made Me Gay shirt, go to gayasspodcast.com and anything you put into your cart is automatically 15% off through Sunday night, just to celebrate the Virgo energy of it all. Speaking of Virgo energy of it all, I want to say the birthday prom, the gay prom celebration this past weekend was a hit. I'm so relieved and happy. I think the best part of the party is that everyone leaned into the theme costume-wise. Like, when you give gay people a theme, they're gonna make it slutty. I knew it would be good, but people showed up, like, cutting off their blazer jackets and just giving bare arm. Literally, I saw sports jackets with a harness underneath it. I feel like anything you give, people will make it slutty, especially gay people. Like, I'm sure, what if I do like a Les Mis party? One person's bound to show up in a French flag thong. That's actually not a bad idea. Because we've got so much to do with this episode, we're going to get straight into it. First, we'll hear from my straight twin brother, and then the incredible Henry Russell Bergstein. Make sure you follow along at Gay Ass Podcast, and I just want to say how grateful I am as I turn 33 to have you here. And the next year is going to be the best one yet. Enjoy, babes. Well, I'm just so honored that you agree to come on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I feel like one of the biggest things you can do as an ally, just say yes to being on. And truly, I'm so happy we get to celebrate our 33rd birthday with your appearance on a gay podcast. Do you feel like 33 is a big year, or it's like nothing special?
Nothing special for me. Megan is turning 30, so I feel like all the attention should be on her big birthday this year.
Oh, that's sweet. Have you heard that this is our Jesus year?
I have no idea what that means.
Actually, I don't either. But apparently when Jesus... Well, now everyone who's not Jewish listening is going to be like, you fucking idiots, when he got his first communion. I don't know what... It's like, apparently Jesus... Oh, maybe Jesus died when he was 33. And so it's like when we turn 33, it's supposed to be like your Jesus year, where I actually don't know what it means. I just say it because I've heard it. But I don't know. We're just two Jews who don't... Well, you really don't know, but I kind of know.
The hell is that supposed to mean?
That you clearly have never heard of a Jesus year.
Who's Jesus?
Exactly. And now we said it. So now that you're on That's a Gay Ass Podcast as my ally, straight twin brother, I want to ask you some questions in terms of the gay lens. First question is about a few things in the gay world. I want to see if you know what they are. Do you know what the term being verse means?
I do not.
Do you have a guess?
Being verse?
Uh-huh.
My guess would be up to speed with, that's an adjective for being up to speed with modern terminology as it relates to the LGBTQ community.
So if you're, yeah, so you're saying if you're a verse, you basically are up to speed and like, you know the references.
Yeah, that would be my guess.
You're wrong, but I like the interpretation. I mean, someone who will receive and give anal. next is, I want to know, do you ever tell people that you have a gay brother?
All the time.
Really? How does it come up?
I don't say it just out of the blue, but if somehow it, for example, comes up in conversation, like a colleague that sits next to me has a brother who's also gay. That would come up in conversation and I would mention, you know, likewise.
Is your colleague's gay brother, do you know if he's married or not?
He is not married.
Just out of curiosity, is he cute?
Never seen him.
Oh, well, keep me posted. Keep me in mind. Okay, next question is, has anybody said anything like vaguely homophobic in your presence in the past few years and you've been like, ooh, that kind of sucks?
No, I mean, generally I hang out with people who know me well and know better not to.
To be like, that's so gay.
Yeah.
Do people still say that? Like, honest question, do you think there are people in their 30s who still say that's so gay?
I'm sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. So then let's go back to when I came out. I know that was a long time ago. Do you remember where we were?
I believe we were in the parking lot of a Dobbs, which is a auto maintenance chain in St. Louis.
Oh, I guess we were.
Well,
yeah, I remember being...
Yeah, I think
like
we were.
Going to gas or something?
No, I think we were at Dobbs, which is... right next to a Bank of America ATM.
Sure, sure, sure. Thank you for the geography. When I told you, were you actually surprised?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, yeah, it depends on what you mean by surprise, but caught off guard.
Well, I guess, yeah, caught off guard is definitely, like, understandable. I think here's the question. Did you have any, like, obviously, I was like I wasn't like hiding who I was, especially in high school, but I was very much closeted. Did you, in the back of your mind, like knowing that I was like being made fun of for being gay or whatever, did you in the back of your mind ever think I might be? Or were you just like, no, people call him that, but he's straight?
I think I made a conscious effort internally to ignore, I don't know if that's the right word, not think about it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because I think like there's no, I guess in your mind, there's like no reason to think about it if like there's no news either way.
Right.
So then when I did tell you, were you like, oh, damn, it was true? Like, do you remember at all how you felt when I told you, besides just like being caught off guard by the whole thing?
Well, I know one memory that I'm constantly reminded by you is what I said in response.
What did you say?
Something to the effect of, if you don't want to be gay, then don't.
Which is like, you know what? It's actually great that you can even say that now, because you now know that that is not true, right?
Correct.
Correct. So like, that's how far we've come. Are you sweating being on this podcast right now?
Yeah, but I'm always sweating. Yeah.
Well, you're doing a really good job. Do you know who RuPaul is?
I do not.
Have you heard of a show called RuPaul's Drag Race?
No.
Do you have a guess what RuPaul's Drag Race is about?
I'm guessing it's about drag.
What is drag?
It's obviously there's a theatrical aspect to it.
True.
But what comes to my mind is, I don't know. See, I don't want to be careful because I don't know the correct terminology. When it comes to my mind, it's men or, I don't know, non-binary, dresses up as maybe the opposite gender. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's a very good answer. That is what drag is. I mean, and RuPaul's Drag Race is where people dress up as women quite theatrically and they have competitions. But yeah, but there's trans people on it, non-binary. Yeah, you nailed it.
We were looking for things to do this past weekend in St. Louis, and I pulled up a website, and actually there was a drag brunch in St. Louis.
And you said...
Fuck no.
Get those... I want to say a word that I can't say to you because you're straight, but if you were gay, it's like, get those faggots away from me. But obviously you can't say that because that would be a hate crime. Okay, fun. Do you have any questions about what it's like to be gay? Anything that you are curious about?
No.
Do you know who Billy Eichner is?
Nope.
Do you know who Lea Michele is?
Nope. But to be fair, related to gay or not, I am not familiar with celebrity names, popular pop culture girl.
Well, Michael, thank you for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Where can people follow you? I'm kidding. Can you please say, to sign off, two words for me? Can you say gay rights?
Gay rights.
Henry Russell Bergstein is on That's a Gay Us podcast. Henry, we are friends IRL. We are friends ITP in the pod. And we are also friends ILB in love, baby. Thank you for coming on That's a Gay Us podcast.
Thank you for having me. We're friends ITP, but I've only heard your podcast and seen it on Instagram in your teasers.
That's such an honor. Thank you so much for not listening to an entire episode, only watching the video clips.
I'm not a pod person. I've cast some scripted pods. Like I cast Homecoming season 1, season 2 in the pod. Mm. When it was like a, you know, early days pioneer podding. And like John Cameron Mitchell has a musical podcast called Homophilus that I cast, but I don't tend to listen to unscripted podcast. I listened to a couple of murder ones on a road trip with some friends because they did, and that scared me too much. Like, it actually scared me about living in California because there were so many serial killers that like came up in California.
Was it the killer that was like for like 20 years? No one could, I mean, that's probably naming about 55 different California serial killers. There was one they had like a podcast about and a Netflix show about. It was like the Golden State Killer.
No, I don't think it was him. Like, this was like some guy who was like hiding in the attic when the woman came home, and then like, I don't know, it was violent.
It's a testament to podcasting as an industry that you can still be that visceral with the true crime, because I swear to God, I stopped listening to true crime podcasts like for sport when I was on a plane listening and I started to have a panic attack.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't listen to it on a plane.
It wasn't not to name drop the most devastating one of all time, but it wasn't Matthew Shepard, but it was adjacent where a body was found in a field. It was a young person. And the description of the physical evidence, it was just like, I was like, what are we doing? And the flight attendant had to bring me ginger ale.
You had to get ginger ale from the flight attendant. Was it a male flight attendant or a female flight attendant or a non-binary flight attendant?
Her pronouns, and she had a white face when she saw my white face because she saw I did not look well.
Aw, she recognized your trauma.
She did, and she's like,
maybe something. That's why we're friends IRL. I recognized your trauma too. A different kind of trauma. I tend to hear scary stories about places before I move there. Like I saw the original Candyman. I mean, it was on TV. It wasn't like it was original when I saw it right before I went to grad school at Northwestern. And then I heard this murder podcast about California right before I moved out here. And I almost pull out because...
No.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're Jewish. Not because you pulled out, but because you got scared enough to change your plans.
I almost got scared.
What if there was a stereotype about Jews and pulling out? I don't know what the stereotype would be, but you know those Jews, they always... No.
Yeah, but there's already like the hole in the sheet. I don't think Jews would pull out.
Yeah, no, because Jews are so start trying to make more Jews, so they never pull out.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
Have you ever heard the stereotype that, and I mean this as a stereotype and not that like we're both about to say that what's the truth or not, but the stereotype that Jewish men have big dicks?
I have not heard that stereotype. And in fact, there was a website in the early, I think, I don't know if JDate existed, but certainly I don't know that JDate had gay options then. Does it have gay options now?
I certainly hope so.
There was a website called gayjews.net. Don't know if it still exists. I went on a date on that through that website.
You went on a date through gayjews.net? How was, the date?
So the date was lovely, but
Wait, you said that it wasn't true about the big dicks?
Yeah, it's definitely not true on that side of things.
Was he Jewish on both sides of the fam?
I think so. I don't know, though. I honestly don't remember.
Do you remember if it was small in girth or length or both?
I just remember that he lived in Chelsea near Barracuda.
Ooh, it's a tiny dicked Barracuda live in Chelsea gay. That's a hard cross to bear.
Mm.
I feel like gayjews.net is either defunct or it's become a huge underground hit that we just don't know about.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore. It does not exist anymore. I hope JDay has a gay feature.
Sure it does. We would know if it didn't. If it was kitchenmingle.com.
True. I do. You know what I need to ask, speaking of the true crime conversation, is that I just found out something that I'm very embarrassed. And I think that you, as a casting directress and as a culture queen film girly, you're probably going to shame me for this. Did you watch the now hit Netflix teen, I guess it's not true crime, it's just like a little bit of crime, Do Revenge with Camila Mendes?
Cheer. Oh, I thought you were talking about Cheer.
Speaking of true crime, have you watched Cheer? I mean, that's a little dark because of Jerry. But no, Do Revenge with Camila Mendes.
No, I've seen the thing on, like, it's being pushed hard on Instagram right now.
It is really, really good. And the thing that I'm telling you that I'm embarrassed about is that Maya Hawke is in it, and she's like the second lead. I did not know, A, that it was Maya Hawke. I watched the movie and really liked it. But B, I did not know that Maya Hawke was acting this much as the child of Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. It's not something that was registering as I watched the movie. Do you judge me? Do you think less of me?
No, I don't think less of you, just because, like, now you know, right? The more you know, now you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's okay. I don't judge you. Why should you know the children of famous people until they're famous themselves?
Thank you for saying that, because...
Did somebody shame you?
No, I just can already tell that someone's going to listen to this and be like, you didn't know that that was Maya Hawke, but like...
It speaks to her transformative acting ability.
I truly mean that, because I was like, this is a very good actor, and there's no way that she's a nepotism baby, and here I am, living to tell the tale.
You know what, I have to watch it to see if they did any kind of transformation. I don't know what she looks like in the show. I mean, maybe it's fine in the movie. Is it a movie?
It's a movie, and Between Us Girls, they put her in a wig that I find to be atrocious.
I feel like wigs are taking over the streaming world.
And why is that? Is it because there's not enough time for HMU?
No, I feel like, A, it's because people are doing too much, so like, they're on another show and you can't touch their hair.
Oh.
B, it's because people keep going to the same actors instead of like going to actors that look different.
Right.
And so if you go to an actor who looks nothing like the part you want to cast, then you have to sort of wig them up.
Go to Party City and call it a day. Do you remember in high school when you would do theater and you were told you cannot cut your hair from the moment you are cast until after the show, and then everybody just showed up regardless of the role, like in shaggy, nasty hair?
I do remember that vaguely. We recently told that to someone. Don't come. Don't cut your hair. You're in the mix for this part. And then they booked it. So
thank God.
Their hair, but and their hair was longer. There is that saying in casting, like you're more castable with long hair.
Wait, really?
People say that. I don't know that I believe
for it. For all genders?
I've heard it applied to men. I mean, I feel like women's hair is so...
If I grew my hair long, I would look like a divorced
Longer
dad.
Hair. Like, I don't mean like... I don't see you as JVN. Is that his initials? The Queer as Folk? Not Queer as Folk.
The Queer as the Eyes Can See. Yeah, Jonathan Van Ness is definitely the long hair.
I don't want to see you with that hair. That works for JVN. That is not Eric Williams.
Are we talking ear length?
Just a little long. Wait, look, take off your hat.
I will not do that.
Take off your hat. It's sort of like our redo of fame.
You really are casting director.
You know, you have shorter hair. You can make it a little longer, but, you know.
All right. Well.
I thought of you this morning. I took Alice out for a walk. Because I walk her for like 2.5-3 miles. It started during the heat wave. We'd wake up super early so that she had her exercise for the day because it was too hot for her to go out during the day. You know, she's 2.5. She's still got a lot of puppy energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went this morning. And there was a very handsome gentleman. Amazing body. He and his dog walk down. They start playing. Alice, and he has this puppy, Gracie, who's like 8 months. And he's like pretty and also nice. And I thought they played for a while. Like, it wasn't like a quick sniff butts, move on. they rolled around so much so that when I got home, I had to take Alice immediately into the shower. They were like rolling around in the mud. It was like a good 10, I think almost 10 minutes. And so there was a little bit of banter. And I was like, if this was Eric Williams, he would have a drinks date. And he would have an invitation to a party in LA that this person was going to or throwing themselves. And I was like, how? He's lived here since November. I've lived here since January 2020. Well, really January 29th, so February 2020. But like, how does he transition? How does he close that deal so quickly on all accounts? Because everyone at your party, you've some of them you've known for a while now, but others you met recently at another party and suddenly they're at your party. And I'm like, how does he do this? What is his secret?
Well, Eric? First of all, I'm loving that this is the reputation that I'm building in this fucking town. But I think the answer is edibles. I think it's just that I'm confident enough because I'm feeling a little not of this earth. But also, I just like, I'm in a very yes part of my life. As you know, this birthday is on this very day that our dear friends are listening to this podcast episode. I am saying yes to myself and the world. And if I see a gorgeous nude man walking, what's his dog's name?
Nude.
Come on, Henry. Let me make the story better. What was his dog's name?
Gracie.
If I see a nude man and Gracie and my dog rolling in the mud, I'm going to have my tongue between the cheeks. But I mean, I take that back. I'm going to be at his party only because we have genuinely enjoyed each other enough for it to go there. I've met plenty of people who I would never dare. Like, Henry, I hope you don't.
There are people you're like, I'm not gonna convert.
Are you kidding me? In fact, I will never say these names in public because it's just fully not nice. But I was at a different friend's gathering and there was this couple that was there and they just immediately gave off trying to gain follower energy. It was just like, I'm only existing.
Was this party all influencers?
That was actually not the party I'm talking about, but I love that subtle drag. actually.
So here's the thing. I'm not like a big TikTok person. So I would meet these people at your party and they all start, several of them turned out to be big. Well, part of them, some of them have been on your pod, right?
Yeah. I mean, I actually don't think there were. Well, let's address the elephant in the room. Henry was at what is now a famous party a couple of days ago, which was Gay Prom 2022. Henry, you walked away from the party. What did you secretly say to your sweet, kind, handsome boyfriend? Did you say, God, that was blank?
No, I think I said, oh, my God, that Costco cake was everything. And
isn't it, though?
Most of the influencers we met were really nice.
I don't like that you're calling them influencers because I don't consider them as such. And I don't think they are. I don't think anybody.
No, I didn't know any of them were until I got.
No one's an influencer except maybe some of my dear friends who like. No, none of that. To me, an influencer is someone who does it full time.
Okay. Well, I felt like there were people who like, if you asked a homosexual on the street, they were primarily, there were straight people at this party.
There were.
And they were wonderful and wonderfully dressed. But there were primarily the non-influencer influencers were homosexual or of the queer
variety
community.
You're talking about one person who is definitely, I could maybe consider him influency, which is someone who's been on the pod, Nick Norsha. Yes.
Well, he was one.
Listen, when you have over like, he has like 300,000 followers on TikTok, and like, yeah, he for sure I would consider, but like, I think he's just like hot, hairy, and funny.
That also is a theme of the guests at the famous party. There are also a lot of tall people. Oh. I did say that to my boyfriend. I said, am I not wrong that he has a lot of tall friends?
Okay, I didn't clock that. I like that. Maybe I'm subconsciously attracted in a friendship way. Actually, you know what's so funny is that I have made some new friends who are quite tall here. But someone told me they think LA in general just has a taller group of people.
Maybe I'm just a little person and maybe I'm shrinking. I'm like Sophia.
No. Wait, how tall are you?
5'6"-ish.
See, my twin brother is 5'4". You're a giant.
Yeah, but he's not the same height as you. True. Wait, he's 5'4"?
Yeah, he is.
He's making his way in the world.
Making his way downtown, walking fast because his legs are so short. So the party, the Costco cake was beyond my expectations.
So good. I usually prefer like a a white sheet, a store-bought sheet cake to be like white sheet cake and white or chocolate icing. But this was, you know,
decadent
chocolate sheet cake and chocolate icing. In the middle cream was sort of like a white and chocolate. It was both vanilla and chocolate. I don't know if it was like a cookies and cream.
It was like,
I don't know how they filled it. And then they had like the cream on top, even like the what the clouds and the balloons were made of was also delicious. It wasn't too sugary. Yeah. It was like the perfect balance. And I was like, I could eat this all day. When I went to undergrad, I went to school upstate and we had Wegmans, which I don't know if you, do you know Wegmans?
I do know Wegmans.
Now it's in New York, but mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't back then. And they had Doug Flutie subs, which went to Doug Flutie's charity, which were these turkey subs, which were delicious, but they had sheet cakes. And I would buy, back then I was more, I wasn't doing edibles, but other versions of that. But I would eat entire sheet cakes by myself.
For what, how many servings do you think they would be?
I mean, it was probably half the size of yours, so probably like, yours was like supposed to serve 48.
48.
I think this would probably serve like 24. It depended. Sometimes I'd get the round ones, which are more like 12, and then sometimes I get the rectangular ones. And they weren't as high. I mean, this cake was high, and it had two layers. I mean, sometimes the sheet cakes just have one layer. But I could talk about a sheet cake all day.
I can, Henry. No, I can tell.
Do you still have any left, or did you throw it away?
You come on this podcast, ask me if I throw away cake. That is a deep insult. No, the cake is sitting in my fridge. I had it at three different junctures yesterday. I felt so disgusting. I had a salad for lunch and all day of like walked around. And every time I catch myself in a mirror, I feel like I'm Eddie Murphy in drag. I just like, it is a tough cross to bear because the cake is so good. And I famously don't love cake. I did not
know that about you. And here you are telling me I'm insulting you by saying you're going to throw a cake. You don't like cake. You're a cake hater.
Now you're all of a sudden saying you knew the fact that I didn't like cake. But I just think cake can be like dry and bad. And if the icing isn't good, the whole thing is ruined. But there's just, for me, ice cream in general can be, see, Matt's gonna fucking hate me for this. He hates when I talk about ice cream on the podcast because he thinks no one cares. But I care about dessert. And I want, Henry, if you want some of this cake, I might even hand deliver it to you. I don't want to throw it away. That feels bad.
So what I usually do on my birthday and on his birthday, my boyfriend Paul has to make me cake. It became a tradition that he made me cake on his birthday. Complicated, boring, not going to share it on your pod. But if people want to know, they can start a hashtag Henry Get His Own Pod movement. But what I usually have is I have a piece of the cake and a scoop of ice cream on the cake, because then even if the cake is dry, and also what happens is it sets up the health proportions of the serving better. When there's the fat to balance out the amount of sugar, it makes it more like a zone bar if you add the ice cream, in my thinking. And then you don't get the sort of like blood sugar effects.
When I'm eating my dessert, I want to make sure it resembles the experience of a zone bar, and I want to thank you for replicating that experience with your birthday cake for Paul. Listen, one of the best cakes I've had was a friend made it for my birthday a few years ago. Her name is Maggie McNeil. She makes a cake like no other, and it was the first year this podcast was out, and she put Gay Ass Podcast like marketing on the cake. Come on.
Can I ask, what is the thing about your podcast? Like, what is your podcast?
The podcast asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe? And then we interview queer legends and basically get silly, get deep. And if you're straight, get gay. And if you're straight and we have you on, we ask, why are you so obsessed with us? And I've only had two straight people on.
Who are they?
Kat Cohen and Nicole Thurman. I think those are the only straight people I've had on.
Oh, interesting, interesting.
Okay. Why? So far, you're on, like, what is this? What are we doing here?
Oh, no. I just didn't know. And I know, you know, I see the merch and I want to buy it, but I feel like a poser. I want to buy it to support you. You're young. You just moved to LA. You're having your Jesus year. But at the same time, I don't want to, like, be wearing this merch and not, like, if some young proto-homo comes up to me and he's like, what is your gay ass podcast merch or your character actress merch, I need to be able to explain it.
I think I love how honest you're being that you don't listen to this podcast. I really think that's I think it's brave. I prefer this as friends, and I mean this with my heart. Like, it's so much better to either listen if you want to or not listen if you're not a podcast person, and then be honest about it versus lying. Like, yeah, I remember that. But like, you never give any, you never give any specifics about what it is. You just pretend that you do. I do not like that.
No, and I don't know. I may tell you to edit this out because I don't want the Matt Rogers stans to come for me. True. But I've run into Matt Rogers a couple of times since his Showtime series has come out. And every time I'm like, I'm so sorry, I haven't watched it yet. I'm waiting for all the episodes to drop because I don't have Showtime and I want to do like a free week so I can watch it in that free week all at once. And I still haven't watched it, but I will. The show looks wonderful and a lot of great people worked on it that I know. But
how does he respond when you say that?
The first few times he was fine about it. The last time he was like, oh, everybody's saying that to me. But no, he was lovely. He is lovely.
Yeah, no, he's the best.
He's amazing. And really going through like his sex symbol phase right now, I feel like. He's you posting know, some thirst traps and the people are here for it.
They
and
are. I think also...
They should be.
They should. And also I think like he's in a fashion forward phase as well.
100 I mean, he's always been fashion forward, but the world is taking
catching on. Yeah. So you know what, Henry Russell Bergstein, your question is, what the fuck is this podcast about? Well, let me ask you the question so you can give us the answer. Henry, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
I blame General Hospital.
Mm.
And the Luke and Laura love story. So violent, based in rape. And I think I saw that and I was like, no, I'm going to go gay. Truly, I saw that in a formative time. I'm dating myself because I don't like to give out my age. I'm old. But
you said this is what straight love is?
At one point, Robbie Couch turned to everyone at the party and was like, so is everyone here 33? Who, by the way, sweetest person I've ever met.
Beyond.
For an influencer.
YA. He is not an influencer. He is a writer.
Okay. But, and he was so nice, but he started, and I was like, they're coming around the circle. I'm not 33.
Wait, speaking of thank true God, crime.
They never got there. We changed the topic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's General Hospital. My answer is General Hospital.
Do you consider yourself now that was sort of during a formative time of your life? Do you think it impacted what you're attracted to in the world? Like you really want like a sweet, soft, kind person? Like even dating or friendship or otherwise?
No, because there are a lot of loud, annoying people that I love. Mm.
That felt pointed.
So I don't think it has gone went that extreme. I think it was just sort of like, yeah, I didn't wanna be on top of a lady or have a lady on top of me. Even
print that on a shirt. I do not want to be on top of a lady.
I realized that I like what men had to offer.
Same here. Speaking of what, when you realize you like what men have to offer, when was the first time that you cashed in on that offer and had your first boy kiss?
When was my first boy kiss? I think the kissing happened later than some other things. And the kissing happened, excuse me, I got a little verklempt.
It's okay.
Linda Richman, coffee talk. I think the kissing happened in college, honestly. I was older.
Yeah, I mean, my first kiss was my freshman year of college. I don't think I even felt safe to even attempt to do it when I was growing up in the Midwest. I was just like, we're going to save it for the fagotrinis in New York.
Were you, you've told me, I think, a little bit. Were you out in high school, even though you weren't making out with boys?
No, I came out like a month or two before graduation of high school. And I only started telling people like really the last month or over the summer. So you weren't
like, because that's the thing. It's sort of like high school seems so small, even bigger high schools. It's like everybody knows everything.
Right.
So it's like, how do you?
I also like, I just, yeah, it was so deeply, you know what? I always did the thing when I was a kid that I don't know if anyone else did, but I was so not wanting to be gay whilst knowing I was so very gay that I've maybe said this before. I would play those games where if I would like have to throw something away, I would throw into a trash can and I would say, if I get it in the trash can that I'm not gay, I would like make like bets with the universe to like ensure that I wasn't gay. And so I was so focusing on like, yes, having my gay thoughts and like probably self-pleasuring with some guilt after, but then I would never let it go past that. And then, so the actual idea of actually doing something was so out of the realm. By the time I went to college then, when I first kissed a boy, it was, I mean, I can still imagine the feeling. It was like the most physical electricity that I just didn't know it was possible.
And did you have, you had like Will and Grace and stuff growing up, right?
I did.
I feel like I didn't even necessarily have the words for it. We had like, you know, AIDS and things like that and fear, but we didn't like that. We had like the news, but that was sort of where you saw, or like Philadelphia, that movie with Tom Hanks. Like,
Tom Hanks.
That was sort of like the big, I mean, The Band Plays On too. I think those were the big gay stories.
And that wasn't exactly making you wanting to go and find
it. There was a lot of fear built around it. So I don't even know that I had the words, but there were similar sort of mind games that you play with yourself in terms of like knowing your desire is mismatched with what society's expectations are.
Yeah. And do you remember when you finally were in your college years and the kiss happened, was, or even anything that happened, boy, what do you remember, any like groundbreaking feelings, or was it pretty much like, all right, it is what it is, Santa?
Like physical feelings or like
emotional or otherwise?
Awakening.
Yeah.
I do remember I was studying abroad when I was the most adventurous. I went away a year early instead of, I know most people go away junior year. I went away sophomore year because I was like, I got to get out of here. My college roommate was a rando sophomore year, and he was aggro and not nice and was like threatened me at some point. But also I was like, I need to get out of here so I can sort of find Henry. And I found him in the UK. I even tried smoking Marlboro Reds because I had a crush on this guy who smoked Marlboro Reds. Not a good idea. Did not go beyond the first pack.
But did that guy end up giving you the green light?
No, we were friendly, but it didn't. I didn't convert him. He was a bartender. I was dumb. I didn't know there are certain people who can. Maybe Gracie's owner today is the kind of person who can take home a bartender.
But that's like, a very specific type of person. I can't take home a bartender.
Yeah. So I ended up taking home somebody else at the bar, actually an Italian, who was wearing leather pants. I had feelings and thoughts and sort of like poetic imagery running through my mind.
Were you a capital S slut in the UK?
Not that time. No, I wasn't really, because I was still, fumbling around and sort of, even though I was expressing myself, I was still keeping it a secret from the people I was studying with.
Because you were still closeted.
I was still vaguely closeted, but not really. But I don't think I really was. But also, like, I wasn't confident enough to like have them know I was taking a swing.
Not only were you sort of secretively finding Henry in the gay lens in the UK, but you were also secretively drowning in uncircumcised cock and not being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm really, because I forced myself to be honest in this podcast, I don't think I've actually been with a guy that was uncut. Is that embarrassing?
Never.
I don't think so.
I mean, sometimes you can't necessarily tell if they're very excited and you don't see it.
That's
out of...
true. You know what? Every time I've been with a guy, they've been so rock hard. I have no idea if they're.
It might just be that you have that effect on men.
My superpower is I don't see cutness. It's the modern I don't see color, which you can't say.
Well, you shouldn't say, but also you should see cutness. I mean, you should see uncutness. You should be able to see it.
Should be able to see it. I just, the sex appeal.
You're a Jew from where? Like Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't it all? Weren't you swimming in it? But you weren't really practicing there.
I wasn't practicing. Wait, are you saying that you think stereotypically Missouri men are uncut?
Well, if they're not Jewish, and I don't think of Missouri being like a richly Jewish community. Your community, yes, but like, are there a ton of Jews in Missouri?
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, no. We were looking up different states recently, Matt and I, for whatever reason. Oh, because I sometimes shade him about the South just because it's a fun game to play. And we were looking up different states. And did you know that Georgia has like a huge amount of Jews?
Oh, yeah. The Atlanta community is pretty big.
See, I knew Atlanta was pretty big. I didn't know it was so fucking big.
Yeah. My prom date's aunt and uncle were big in their synagogue, and this is going to sound like Mike Myers' show that nobody watched on Netflix with the like the Jews running the world. But no, my prom dates, aunt and uncle, were big in the Jewish community in their synagogue in Atlanta. So I had learned about the community through them.
Well, it turns out that South Dakota, no joke, has like 55 statewide.
That's it?
55 Jews, like something like insane like that.
Where is Matt from?
Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Went to school in Alabama.
Which school? Tuscaloosa?
Yes, University of Alabama. Roll Tide.
Oh. My ex went through a period where he was only traveling by train. So we took Amtrak from Chicago to, I think it was from Chicago to New Orleans. And I think we went through Tuscaloosa.
I'm glad you made it.
We never got off the train.
Were you wearing one of your iconic barber shirts?
No, I didn't wear barber shirts as much back then. I did wear graphic tees. The barber shirts happened sort of around, became more religious, I should say, around 2016. They became every day, sort of. There was a powerful woman on my shirt every day. The majority of my shirts are Barbara, then Golden Girls, and then other, you know, I have like a Whitney t-shirt. I have a Bette Midler or two. I have Dolly Parton. I have Judy Garland. I have Diana Ross.
Was it a reaction to the election? Like, what spurred this?
It was sort of like, I'm only going to promote women on my body.
That's a really beautiful form of protest, is just to wear usually like beautifully, hilariously cartooned gay icons.
And then when I moved to LA, it really became almost exclusively Barbara during the week at work and then others on the weekends, because she became my sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and I've now witnessed you in multiple social settings get many compliments for it, and all deserve.
Well, it's her, you know?
It's her. So wait, would you say then that Barbara had anything to do with you being gay as well?
I thought you were going to say, would you say then that my party was hugely iconic and the most important event of the end of the summer?
This entire episode is to just promote the party that already happened.
First of all, your party was wonderful, but... you know, it's so funny because I was talking about this the other day. This is going to sound like name dropping. It is not name dropping. I worked on a show that Seth MacFarlane was on, and he came up to me. I was wearing a Barbara shirt, as I do. Mm-hmm. And he started singing a Barbara song. And I did not recognize it immediately because it was a song from a movie and it wasn't one of her like classics. I have a ton of Barbara Streisand albums. There's a key few that I listen to most often because of my weird OCD and blah, blah, blah. But like, there are certain songs that I'm more familiar with. And so some of the movie stuff, like Love with All the Trimmings or like Melinda, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with On a Clear Day at this point in my life. But like, he sang from one of these movies and I did not know it. And I felt such shame because here is this like celebrity, comedian icon, talking to me about Barbara, engaging with this, you know, little gay man. And I was at a loss.
No, but I think that's actually like a kind of cool thing because he's confirmed straight, right? And he's teaching the gay guy wearing a Barbara shirt about a Barbara song that he doesn't know. I think that's actually a reversal that this universe needs.
But I say that story with the purpose of explaining that like I'm not a good gay in the sense of like diva worship. Like I love her. I mean, obviously I wear her on my chest every day. I guess you could say I'm okay about it. But like, I don't know where she was when Judy Garland died, or like, I don't know like what broke up her marriage with Elliot Gould. You know, I don't know the sort of gossipy sort of...
You're less dramaturgical and more cosmic sansical. You're more...
I came to her through my stepfather. I mean, that's why I made this joke earlier, is like he had a record collection and some of the records were Barbara Streisand. And I think, I don't know why I put them on. I somehow knew and I put them on and as a teenager, and I fell in love with her voice and her songs, but I didn't know she was a gay icon.
Well, like, that's so many of us, but that's like, why did I like, and this will probably date myself in like a different way, because it's just like a devastating reference.
We know you're 33, girl. We know you're 33 because you just had the most influential, incredible birthday party in Los Angeles since Jesse Tyler Ferguson's husband 2 weeks before yours.
Justin Makita? Fuck, I knew I missed on something. I am not trying to only talk about that part. However, I forgot what I was going to say because I'm embarrassed.
Guys, anyone listening at home, he is literally texting me, mention the party. Mention the party.
You only hear... I really have no, I feel like I'm high right now because I have no idea what I was saying. That's what happens sometimes for me.
You were talking about Justin McKeeda. No.
My dated reference. And you're like, how dare you? My dated reference is that I would watch certain things that I was so pulled towards, not knowing it's because I was gay. And one of the dated references is the movie Camp, Anna Kendrick. It just like, you know, Robin DeJesus in the first like 5 minutes of the movie gets gay bash. And I was like crying watching me like, why do I identify with him so much? Duh, because you're getting made fun of for being gay every goddamn day of your life. But I just like, I think I deep down knew that I shouldn't be watching it too much out in the open. Like I remember watching it in a back room where I knew no one was going to be in the house. But like, I didn't necessarily know it's because I was like gay, but all this to say, we're pulled towards the gay icons, not knowing that we're gay. Like my mom told me my favorite colors were pink and purple as a four-year-old. And it's because I'm not saying all gay guys who like pink and purple that makes them gay, but like it all tracks.
Are they still your favorite colors?
That's actually dark to think about. I ended up changing it to blue probably because I wanted to fit in more. But now I don't know my favorite color because I think that's a really
you lost your way. Well, you need to come back. You got to watch Ma Vie en Rose. You need to come back to your favorite color. You
What's your favorite them. Color?
Purple is my favorite color. I mean, I wore purple today. I do match my socks to my shirt, so I'm wearing purple socks.
I love that.
I have a nice color scheme going.
I bet you my favorite colors probably back to when I was 4 years old. It was probably purple and pink, but I find so much of my adulthood right now and like as deep and schmarmy as it sounds, like so much of my recent therapy time has been just finding my true self that is not censored by myself or others. And I think the pink and purple of it all is a very good example of that.
Well, because there was no judgment then. You just liked what you liked.
I liked what I liked. And I really get so frustrated and sad and angry and blah, blah, blah to think back of all the things that we are told that we're not allowed to like. And then you have to like unlearn that 20, 30 years later.
It is a very special episode of the Gay Ass Podcast.
That's why this podcast is my fucking baby. And speaking of the podcast, I want to ask you an important podcast question, which is Henry Russell Bergstein, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
This has tortured me for the less than 24 hours since I knew that it was a question you asked on the podcast, but for the entire time since I discovered it was a question. Because like, what is a character actress these days? You know,
a woman who's on screen.
A year and a half ago, or 2 years ago, you could have said Jean Smart was a character actress. Now she's a leading lady.
But I still consider her character actress. I mean, come on, even as the lead of Hacks, the hair alone, the long flowing garb alone, come on.
It's so hard. Like, who is my favorite?
Well, thinking back to when you were like pulled towards different people without knowing why, and now knowing that you are gay as hell, if I may say that, can you list any character actresses that you like, your heart kind of feels warm when you think about them?
Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to say Laurie Metcalf.
Oh.
Sorry, I was going to say Rosie O'Donnell, who is someone that I, you know, was a, you know, an icon and is an icon. And she's an actress as well as a comedian
and a great actor, I think.
But I think I have to go with Laurie Metcalf for the scene where we find out that George Clooney's character has been beating her. I think it was George Clooney's character. She had so many husbands and our boyfriends on that show. I mean, that's part of her Jackie's character. But then she's in the bathroom and she's like, close the door, because she doesn't want them to see her bruises. But she also does comedy.
She does, but she does. She also, you're watching a lot of, there's just men are bad and they're represented in all types of media.
I also was forced to watch a lot of Kramer versus Kramer growing up because we were part of this like divorced family children's group and we watched that. And then, so that could be it too. I mean, there's lots of, are we blaming feminism for homosexuality? Is that what's happening? No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all.
Feminism turns. That's going to be the next Republicans talking point after groomers, after gays are groomers. It's also feminists cause gayness.
I mean, we may all not be here in a few years. They'll put us in camps. We're Jewish and gay.
I know. Well, we're going to be, what is our role? That's actually a dark question, is what is our role going to be in the gay Jew internment camps?
Well, you might run the camp radio station.
I'll do all the morning announcements.
We can't, it's too dark, it's too potentially true, but it's too dark.
Well, listen, Henry Russell Bergstein,
But I feel like we really didn't talk enough about your party, which was so much fun. and people just kept coming, and there were more people. And then at one point, I almost had to bow. Like, Drew Jogi walked in, and I was like, oh. And I literally went to go bow. I was like, comic icon after comic icon and influencer.
Well, if we may be very honest here, the Drew Drogi of it all is not only one of my greatest joys, but this podcast brought him into my life. And in a way, do you know what brought you into my life, Henry? Do you know that this podcast did that?
It did. I realized it. I was trying to think how we know each other. And it's, excuse me, I'm belching on your podcast. That's a teaser to put on Instagram. it's Brian J. Moylan. Is his middle initial J or did I make that up?
It sounds right.
He is a longtime friend from New York City, from the Boiler Room and mutual friends. Long may she live, the Boiler Room, and Brian J. Moylan, but mostly the Boiler Room. And drinks there used to be like $2, $2.50. I remember when they went up to $2.50 and we were all upset about the quarter situation.
Oh,
this
no.
is before your time. But
yeah, I don't want to date myself.
Drinks
but...
there were, that's why I can't drink anymore. All that well liquor was just, it killed my soul. But
wait, you're making it sound like you are fully 78 years old. I know you're not that old.
I'm not. I'm really not that far from 33. And sometimes I forget exactly how far I am from 33. Someone at a bar once was like, it's not cute, you're not saying your age. And I was like, I'm not trying to be cute, I just don't want to say my age. And eventually I said my age, I thought. And then I called my sister a few days later, just casually, and I told her the funny story about how they wouldn't give up on me telling my age. And I told it my age, and she's like, Henry, you're not that age.
You're 2 years
That's
older.
Not your age. I had changed it in my head. So who's to say?
Well, listen, Henry Russell Bergstein, before we say goodbye, I'm gonna ask you a question that you are not prepped for and you definitely don't know it's asked because you've never listened to this podcast. Henry, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
How do you not say Sister Act? But I also really remember enjoying at the time. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it aged well. Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh, see, I haven't watched it, and it is one of those embarrassing moments that I've had a few people say it to me, and I just need to do that. So thank you for filling in a blind spot for me.
And how did I not say Whoopi Goldberg as a character actress? I could. I mean, there's just so many wonderful character actresses. Why don't we just get an island and save all of them and let the rest of us go?
That's a better idea. We all perish. Laurie Metcalf leads them to a gorgeous dinner by the water.
I like the way that sounds.
Henry, do you want people to follow you on any social media platforms, or what do you want people to do after this episode?
I'm private on Instagram. Otherwise, I'd be a star. You know what? They can follow me, my alt Instagram, Peekaboo Barbara. It's just like a little bit of like when your Barbara peeks out. So Peekaboo Barbara, let's make that stick. At Peekaboo Barbara, it's Barbara spelt the correct Streisand way.
B-A-R-B-R-A.
You know what? This is an example of just how bad a gay I am. I didn't know she didn't spell it with the extra A. Until years after having all her albums and like loving her. And then I was in Provincetown and I was like looking at a postcard and it said like Barbara or something. And I was like, they spelled her name wrong. And a homosexual had to correct me.
No.
I did that in public.
That's what turned you straight. I'm so sorry. Your gay card is revoked from that conversation. They
didn't allow me at the dick doc. thank you for having me. I hope I'm going to obsess about everything I said on this pod. You need to edit it nice, make it nice. She's a monster.
Dorinda Medley. No, Henry, thank you so much. And we're signing off. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. If you want that merch for 15% off, go to gayasspodcast.com. It's automatically applied, and that is through this Sunday night. And if you like this podcast, subscribe to it. And if you haven't yet left a 5-star review, it would be the biggest gift of all if you write a little love note why you like it so much, just to keep on spreading the gay gospel. Happy end of Virgo season. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.